The question I've had has puzzled me for a long while. It's found in Luke chapter 22.
Uh-huh.
And it's verses 35 through 38.
Okay.
I was just wondering, why did Jesus want the disciples to have swords or to have a sword?
You know, now you want Luke chapter 22, verse 35?
Yes.
To 38. All right, I'm looking this up now. You're talking about when the disciples said, we have two swords, and he said, it is enough?
Yes.
Well, you know, that's actually a misunderstanding in the translation. When Jesus said, it is enough, what he was really saying is that it's the same thing as when he told the disciples, when they said, do you have bread? Or beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, rather. And then Jesus responded by saying, oh, you know, you don't get what I'm saying. When he said, it is enough, he's saying, no, enough with that kind of thinking. They were thinking about physical swords. He wasn't saying, oh, good, two swords is all we're going to need. You have to read verse 36 also in that. But now he goes on to say, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Well, there, you know, Jesus again is talking about the word of God, which is quick and sharp and powerful as a two-edged sword. He even used that symbol all through the Bible. In Revelation, for instance, Christ is pictured with a sword coming out of his mouth. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
In Ephesians chapter 6, it says the word of God is a sword. When Christ said, I did not come to send peace, but a sword, again, he was speaking about his word. His disciples understood that symbol, or he hoped that they would. But Christ was never endorsing that they resort to violence.
Well, I thought that that has always been so, I've had such a hard time understanding that. And then the fact that I just assumed probably these were the same swords that Peter probably used to cut off the messenger's ear when they were in Gethsemane.
Yeah, but you remember where Jesus said, put your sword away,
yes,
for he who lives by the sword will die by the sword?
Yeah.
So there he's saying, we're not talking about using a physical sword, because if you live by that, you die by it.
Right.
It's like when even David went against Goliath, he said, you come against me with a sword, a spear, and a shield, but I come against you with the Lord. And David did use a sword that day, but the trust of Christians should never be in physical armaments.
And I would have to agree with you. That's why I found these so so puzzling to me, these verses. I could not understand what he was trying to tell them there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that's helpful.
Yeah.
You know, the first lesson, the first Amazing Facts study guide that we offer, it's called Is There Anything Left You Can Trust? Have you ever seen that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, it deals a little bit with the Word of God as a sword in there. And the article that we offer, which is The Armor of God, you can call our resource number. It's got a pretty picture on the cover, too. It's called The Armor of God, and it deals with all these implements and where you find them referred to in the Bible. So recommend that you or anyone else who has further questions on that, give a call. We'll send it to you for free.
Well, I appreciate that.
All right.